Hello, and welcome to the Chaperas Show, where Viv and Neil explore this big adventure called life. Our guest today is David Gandelman, a traveler, author, and teacher who has written a best-selling book on meditation. Hello, David. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Hey, it's my pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's just wonderful. I know we had a pre-chat, and it was the best fun I've had in a long time, so I'm really looking forward to this. But I wonder, David, can we kick off with a brief description of how you come to be here today talking to us?
Sure. I'll give you the short biography. I started when I was 16. I was living a normal suburban life in New Jersey outside of New York City. My brother was experimenting with psychedelics in college. And he came home and he said, "Hey, you never read any books. You don't explore anything." He brought me to the bookstore. He forced me to buy a book, but he'd let me choose any book I wanted. And so I picked up The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, which, you know, now is iconic, but it was the year 2000, so it wasn't very popular yet. And I brought it home. I opened it up, and just after maybe three or four pages, I had what you might call like a spiritual awakening, like a light bulb inside me went off, and I had a pretty radical shift. And from there on, I started meditating a lot and reading a lot of books. I went to get a degree in philosophy, and then I went lived in Europe and then up in the Himalayas and staying in ashrams, studying the Eastern traditions, everything from Zen to Vedanta, Hinduism, Buddhism, you know, Vipassana-style meditations. And so I ended up moving to Hawaii and studying the mystical arts, the intuitive arts. And I would say my experience varies from the Eastern to the Western traditions, maybe more shamanic Hawaiian traditions. And I spent 7 years in Hawaii studying intuitive development, meditation tools, healing arts. And now I teach a integration of everything I've learned.
Oh.
So,
I also know, David, if I can interrupt you, you've just written a book that took Amazon by storm, haven't you?
Yes.
Can you tell us about your book?
I don't know if it took Amazon by storm, but I hope so. It's called The Seven Energies of the Soul. And I'm happy to walk us through the energies and what the book is about, if you like.
Yes, if you could just say what the seven energies of the soul are, if you could give us that list, starting with awaken your inner creator and healer, and if you can just say what those seven aspects, those seven energies are, I think that's fascinating.
Sure. Vivian, if we could just let the engineer know, I could hear an echo of myself. It's not the biggest deal, but. So the seven energies, I'll walk us through them, and then maybe just a little bit about the dynamics of how I came up with them and how I work with them. So the first energy is the creator. The second is the healer. Then we have the warrior, the lover, the artist, the explorer, and the master. And the way I see it is just like how white light passes through a prism and then refracts into the seven main colors of the rainbow. When our awareness passes through our human form, it refracts into these seven main areas of life or seven energies.
And how did you identify?
Yes.
How did you identify those seven energies, David?
You know, they really came from working with thousands of students over time, and
uh-huh.
the students asking me the same questions over and over. Like, David, I have this relationship issue, I have this career issue, this financial issue, this spiritual issue, and everything was always a problem. And so instead of it being a problem, I started showing my clients, you know, if you have a broken heart or you're lonely or you're stuck on some relationship issue, maybe you're here to really develop your inner lover. Maybe you're here to really grow into a lover. So it's not a problem, it's your purpose.
So you kind of switched figure and ground. You said, okay, this is what you're experiencing. You're experiencing it as a problem, but maybe it's not your problem. Maybe that's your focus and what you're supposed to be attending to. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. It's your purpose.
Oh, your purpose even. So that's even stronger.
Your problem might actually be your purpose. Yes.
And probably is what you're saying.
Most likely is.
So
or at
these,
least a piece of the puzzle.
So these seven energies are like archetypes, aren't they? And that because you saw them coming up again and again and again. This is from experience. It's from observation. It's from actually listening to people and hearing what they're saying. And that's how you identified. I would call them archetypes. I don't know if that's off track or not.
I would call them archetypes, too. Let's call them like containers for energy. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so now besides the book, which obviously sounds fascinating, you offer more than that, don't you? You have a meditation school and you have an app. What else?
Yeah, I have a meditation app called Meditation School. I also have an energy intuitive development academy called the Energy Matters Academy. And I have three podcasts. I have a sleep podcast, kind of small bites of wisdom podcast, and then interview podcast, the Energy Matters podcast.
Now, where do people find these?
Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, kind of all the common channels.
And do they look you up by your name, David Gandelman, or
Yes.
do they have to look for some? Oh, so that's the best way to find what you're offering is via looking up your name, David Gandelman, G-A-N-D-E-L-M-A-N, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, and this meditation app, you've had quite a lot of downloads of it, haven't you? Can you tell me?
Yes. Sure, so I have my own meditation app, Meditation School, where I teach live every month, and there's hundreds of hours of content, everything from healing to mindfulness to manifestation, enlightenment, relationship content. And then I also work with an app called Insight Timer, and that's actually the most used meditation app in the world. And that's where I've connected with a lot of my students.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's got about 21 million users.
Wow.
Out of the 2,000 meditation apps that exist, it has about 60% of all the usage. So it's a very popular platform.
That is unbelievable. I mean, it is not easy to make it big in the alternative field. And there's only a space for a few people to make it. And I think you've done your influencer, Eckhart Tolle, proud to have progressed to this space. I mean, congratulations, David. I think that's fantastic. I really do.
Thank you.
Made it big.
Thank you.
And how does your family feel about that? I know you mentioned something about your grandpa when we had our little pre-chat.
Sure. Yeah, there's a... I think I shared this story with you once. He said to me, David, when are you going to get a real job? And I said, Grandpa, look, all these thousands of people enjoy your grandson's teachings. And he looks at it and he goes, and so when are you going to get a real job? No effect.
Does it hurt at all or is it okay? Is it-
No. He's in his 90s. He's adorable. It's hilarious.
I think it speaks to the generation gap. I mean, it's very hard for me to think of what goes on the internet as real, although it's become more and more real, you know, because of our situation with the pandemic. But I can't imagine a 92-year-old being able to adapt to that. And those numbers are so big, David, that they're mind-boggling. I'm very, very impressed to hear this.
The app is really special. If you haven't tried it out, it's called Insight Timer. I highly recommend downloading it. There's thousands and thousands of free meditations on there.
It's absolutely fantastic. Wow. it just shows when you hit, when you're hitting into the truth, things will start to happen because people are seeking that truth, aren't they? They really do want to find out about that, and they do want to know about more. So can we go back to this number seven, because I think it's a very important number. It's a number that's important to me, and I understand that you're saying that we can refract in the same way as the rainbow refracts into seven colors. Our soul can refract into these seven energies, and I'm wondering if you can tell us more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. The number seven for me is a special number. I was born on the 7th, December 7th. I grew up playing ice hockey. It's always the number on my jersey. You know, it's, seven can be a very lucky number. There's seven colors in the rainbow. So I do feel a resonance with that number. There's something about the human mind that can break things down into seven and understand them.
And so it's also odd, seven chakras. Yes, now as you're talking, I'm thinking, and I think I have seven careers. It's like seven aspects to myself, and I want to express them all. So it kind of comes out as seven careers. And I think we're seeing that more and more, aren't we, where people are feeling allowed to express themselves in more ways, you know, and to have more than just one career, one interest, one hobby, but to go out and do more of the things that they're interested in.
Exactly. So we all have a healer in us and a lover and an artist and an explorer. And so that's the basis of the book, is happiness comes from fulfilling every area of life, not just being really good at one. And usually when we're really good at one or we over-focus on one, we lose balance in life. And that's when we start to become unhappy. So with each energy, you can become excessive or deficient. So excessive lover might mean you have no boundaries. You just let everybody in all the time. You always give love, but you never receive. And a deficient lover might be something like your heart is hardened and you don't let anybody in and you're lonely. For an example, if you're an excessive creator, maybe you're an overworker, maybe you avoid your family, maybe you think that all your success is in how much money you make. Or a deficient creator might be somebody who avoids ever stepping up, finding success, thinks, everyone's done everything, everything's been invented, I'll just sit on my couch, I'll hide.
Everything has been invented. I love that. Tell me that. I need to hear that. I might be exceeding on the, in the other direction.
On the creator.
Yeah. It's more than likely. Now, one of the things that we also are aware of is just how much pain people have in their lives and how painful life can be. And I know that you have a favorite quote from Pema Chodron. Could you share that with us?
Yeah. She's a wonderful female Buddhist monk. She has a book called When Everything Falls Apart.
Yes.
And if you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. And sit on a bus and hold it up so everyone could see the cover.
Yeah.
She says that nothing goes away until it teaches us what we need to know. And gosh, is that true for me? You know, the lesson will come around again and again, until it hits us over the head enough times and we learn.
And how do you recommend that people work with themselves in a systematic way?
You know, obviously I'm a meditation teacher, so that's one of the main tools that I teach my students, is how to sit down, close their physical eyes, and open their inner eye, and really start to learn how to see themselves on the inside, and how to start to heal themselves and find their own answers. So if I was to die tomorrow, I hope that the one thing I leave my students with is the ability and the tools to be able to find their own answers.
And in a nutshell, what is that process?
Sure. Let me see if I could simplify it for the sake of our conversation, because some of my trainings are a few years long.
I want the 1 minute training.
Yes. 1 minute apps. So when we close our eyes, the first thing we have to learn how to do is see. So a lot of us don't even notice we can see with our eyes closed. So we close our eyes, we turn on the screen of our mind's eye, like a TV screen or an IMAX. So where are you looking? So we want to look out through the front of our heads. And we could start to see. So, for example, if somebody suffers from ruminating thoughts, which is kind of everybody, I can't stop thinking, David. I keep thinking about my ex or finances or somebody said something mean about me. I've got an argument. And so the thoughts spin. Right? So, for example, we could take one of those spinning sequence of thoughts, put it in our mind's eye, on the screen of our mind, and freeze it. So instead of it just going in circles, just like if you were to pull a film strip out of the camera, you know, old camera, and just look at it, like, okay, let's say we've got 5 to 7 images. One is that person saying something mean to me. Another is me getting angry. Another is me getting back at them. Another is me sitting on the couch lonely. Whatever it is. So we look at these images, and we start to see the energy behind them that animates them. Almost like when we blow oxygen into a balloon. So what is the energy that gives these images life? So, for example, maybe there's resentment, there's anger, frustration, confusion, sadness. So it's not so much about the image, but the energy behind the image. We start to learn how to see the energy behind the images. And then we learn how to release those energies and heal if we need to heal.
And you've
and once we do that, then it goes.
I was just got too excited there. So you've put this into a 4-step process, haven't you?
Sure.
Yeah. Can you just recap on that, the 4 steps?
Yes, so I do a 4-step process. Thanks for reminding me. We find it, we feel it, we face it, and we heal it. So first
this,
of all, we
this
find
is
it.
Done, this is yes. done by sitting with that feeling and that going in to
yes.
experience and answer those questions that you were just sort of listing. And you also said something else to me that was very interesting. What did Carl Jung say? About this, this going in and working like this.
The quote I remember sharing with you from Carl Jung is where his students asked him, is the apocalypse inevitable? And he said, not if enough people do their inner work. So if enough people find it, feel it, face it, and heal it, I think there'll be less external pollution in the world. Mental, emotional, physical pollution in the world, because it all comes from us and all the poison that we hold inside of us as human beings. So when we heal ourselves, well, I think that's when we heal the world.
That's right. And it's the only place where we have power, isn't it, is to look at ourselves and work with ourselves
exactly.
in this way. So this time of being with ourselves and working with our own pain is very, very important. And it's ironic, isn't it? Because the only way we can get away from that inner pain is by going in and really looking at it.
The only way out is in.
Yes. Beautifully said.
Or as I was going to say, as Robert Frost, the poet, says, the only way around is through.
Oh, these words are so powerful. So, David, let's go over the things that you have available again. You've got your meditation app. What is it called?
Meditation School.
Meditation School. And you can get that everywhere
yes.
that you can download apps. And what else are you offering? You've got a YouTube channel. And then,
yes.
And your book is on Amazon. Is that correct?
Yeah. There's an audiobook version if you want me to bore you to sleep.
Oh, I thought you had a sleeping app as well, so that people who want to sleep can
help
with that. Yeah. And then most importantly, your book. That's available on Amazon, isn't it?
Yes. So Kindle, not a hardcover yet, but a physical copy and an audiobook version.
Okay.
And I also have a 21-part meditation audio series that comes with the book that you can get for free on my app.
Now, that all sounds excellent. And now, where's your website? Can you give us your website address?
Sure. It's just meditationschool.us.
Oh, nice and easy. Meditationschool.us. Well, we are talking to David Gandelman, who is a traveler, and we didn't even talk about the traveling. He's a teacher. He's an author with a best-selling book on Amazon about meditation and the seven rays. What's it called again, David?
The seven energies of the soul.
Seven energies of the soul. Absolutely fantastic. Thank you, David. We'll be back. We're going to take a break now, and when we come back, we're going to talk to you more about intuitive development and meditation and how they are related. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to The Shapira Show. Welcome back to The Shapira Show, where Viv and Neil are exploring this big adventure called life. We're talking to David Gandelman. He's a teacher, an author. He has websites. He has apps. He's just an absolute amazing person on the internet these days. So we're going to ask David now about meditation and intuitive development. So, David, can you explain to us the relationship between intuitive development and meditation?
Sure. And let me just preface by saying I've been teaching people how to develop their intuitive abilities for a long time. And it's, wow, there's something magical about being able to find your own answers. And so we use meditation to actually, let's say, create a foundation so that we can find our own answers and develop our intuitive abilities. So if there's a lot of noise in your head, it's hard to find your own answers, right? You can't hear your own voice if there's 10 other voices in your head. So the foundations of meditation help us ground ourselves and be present, and then we can add some tools in there to start to actually see, know, feel, and find our own answers. And the way we do that is there are a number of energetic tools that we teach. For example, how to ground yourself, how to have energetic boundaries, how to let go of other people's pain or emotion that you've absorbed if you're an empath, how to start to see what your next step is in meditation, and how to know what's really true for you. So those are the kind of fundamentals that we teach in intuitive development. And it takes a long time to develop somebody in this area. And one of the ways that we do it is we teach them how to do intuitive readings on other people, which sounds pretty woo-woo, but it's actually one of the best ways to learn how to be able to see and lead yourself. You kind of get out of your own way by looking at others. So I teach people how to close their physical eyes and how to see somebody else with their eyes closed. And it's a pretty cool process.
And do you do that online remotely or in person classes?
I did it in person for 7 years in Hawaii when I lived there, and now it's all online, unless we do a retreat. The rest is all over Zoom and through our online academy.
Okay, and people can find you at...
That's a different website. So actually, the intuitive training is the Energy Matters Academy, or energymattersacademy.com.
Gosh, every time I ask you a question, there's more. Let's go over that one again. The Energy Matters Academy, is that it?
Yes.
Okay, very good. All right, now you said a couple of tantalizing things there, and one of them was it's good to be able to find your own answers. How did you discover that you must find your own answers?
Well, down the intuitive path, I started in India. I was in the Himalayas studying the Eastern traditions, very traditional, like Vedanta style, sit meditation hours and hours a day to find enlightenment kind of track. And one day my buddy, he was dating a woman who was a healer, and he said, hey, you should have a session with her. And I was like, okay, I don't even know what that means, but let's do it. And she sat me down on some cushions along the Ganges River at a restaurant, actually, and just did her intuitive healing work on me. And I was like, what is this? But it was like nobody in my whole life had ever seen me that clearly. And she did it with her eyes closed. And she could see things in me that I could feel that I had never expressed to anyone. And it was so amazing that I said, how the heck did you learn how to do that? And she said, oh, in Hawaii. So I bought a plane ticket and I moved to Hawaii and I spent 7 years there. And that's where I learned how to develop these kinds of skills, which I didn't even know was possible. And then eventually I started teaching them to other people.
And the confidence to become a teacher, how did that happen?
Very slowly.
But didn't you get a sign? You did tell me about a sign. I mean,
yes.
You thought you wouldn't be as good as your teachers.
Yeah, so at first I did not have confidence as a teacher, or let's say enough confidence, which is normal when we're starting, you know, something new. And I was sitting on the beach in Hawaii at a park on the beach, and I had this thought, I'll never be as good of a teacher as my teacher. And right when I had that thought, a bird took a huge crap all over me, like literally all over me. And that was really a reflection of the energy and the invalidation I was sitting in, vibrating in. And it was great. It woke me up, like, wow, that's a bunch of BS. And it helped me start to shift out of that. And just like anything in life, we get better with practice. And so I taught hundreds and hundreds of times, and probably now thousands of times, and I'm much more comfortable than when I was, you know, starting out. But I did not have confidence when I started out. And just like as an intuitive reader, there's probably nothing more awkward in the world than being a beginner intuitive reader. I think I see something. That's pretty tough. So it's a long training, and it's hard to for a lot of students to get through it, because there's so many layers and levels of invalidation, or I'm not good enough, or what if I say something wrong. So we really hold our hands through that process.
It's very tricky.
Yeah.
I know, because, and I know how long it takes, and I still feel like I'm making it up, except I keep being told, yes, that's right. And I go, like, really? And I keep getting that, yes, that's right. Now, there's something else, a different dynamic, that also we as teachers have had to go through, and that is getting out from under the shadow of our own teachers. Did you ever have an incident that had you realize, no, teachers are just human, and I can be a teacher,
yeah,
too?
I've had many of those. One of them was with a guru I had in India, who one day, somebody asked him a very innocent question. It was something like, how come you don't teach more about Hinduism? Because he was a Hindu monk, but he taught a lot about other traditions, because he was very open to every tradition. And for whatever reason, he just snapped, and he started yelling. He said, I'm going to go back to my room and never teach again. And I was like, oh, crap, he's not as enlightened and perfect as I thought. And that was a good experience for me to recognize everyone's human. And I didn't need to make a human into a god, because that was a really great way to avoid me developing into my own teacher.
Yeah,
and
you
I had
have
another
to make your teacher into a god,
oh, yeah,
but you don't have to be a god to be a teacher, is the
That's
corollary
right.
of that, isn't it?
And if you become a teacher and think you're a god, then you're in trouble.
Oh, I think so. I couldn't
yeah.
agree more, and it is a bothersome dynamic sometimes, for sure. Yeah, because, you know, the whole word guru, which of course just guru means teacher, but for us using it in our Western way, it also means demigod, doesn't it? And that's
yeah.
an error in our thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because even our spirit teachers are not perfect, they're not omniscient, they're not God either. They're just spirits, they're just thoughts without physical bodies to go with them.
Yeah, exactly.
And like I learned, they're not perfect either.
Right. Well, you know what's interesting is I think you experience this more with male teachers. I mean, female teachers, it happens as well. A masculine male energy that tends to inflate itself.
Well, There's no time to go into that, and I wasn't the one who said it. It's the only thing I'll say. I think, David, that you're very, very modest. You've been amazingly successful with your best-selling book on Amazon and all your different apps. I mean, really, the best-used app, the most-used app for meditation on the Internet. This is extraordinary. Thank you so much for coming and talking to us today. Let's go over how to get hold of you one more time. Your website is?
Meditationschool.us.
And your intuitive development class is on which website?
Yeah, that's the energymattersacademy.com.
Excellent. And one more time, the title of your book that is available on Amazon.
Sure. It is The Seven Energies of the Soul.
The Seven Energies of the Soul. Absolutely wonderful. We've been speaking to David Gandelman, who is an unbelievably successful meditation teacher and author and has so much information and insight to share with us all, and it's all available on the Internet. It's absolutely fantastic. David, thank you very, very much for coming and sharing your wisdom with us. And everyone,
it's been my pleasure, Vivian.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And everyone, you've been listening to The Chakra Show. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, Neil is going to report to us from the spirit dimension. How wonderful. Thank you.